He done well with what I taught him, didn't he? Have you ever thought about that city? What it's going to look like? Amazing. We can't even get it in our mind just how amazing that city is going to be. And the best thing about it, he will be there. Be no sun, because he will be the light. Be no sleep, because there is no night. Be no sickness, no sorrows, no pain, no suffering. What a city that'll be. Amen? I'm looking forward to it. And when you measure the thing that the Bible gives in the rules of our measurements, it's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles high. A 1,500 mile cubic. That's a big place. And it's been prepared for you. For you. It's been prepared for those who believe the gospel. Amen? Thank you, Kevin. That was great. It didn't let them high parts you even strain on them at all. I mean, I'd have been just as red-faced and fell over, passed out probably. But you've done a great job. You're a great job. Take your Bibles, if you would, today. I want to talk to you about something a little different than what we know of. But we know that the same God that's in that city is the same God that's here that we're going to talk about today. Exodus, if you would, chapter 14 is where we're going to be. Chapter 14. I want to talk to you about the way we get a lot of times. The way we get. Too many times. Have you ever been to a place and you just failed to trust God? You knew that was the right thing to do, but you just did not do it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't find your strength in yourself to bring yourself to know that no matter what happens here, God's in control of it. I've said this, and you guys have heard me say this. I believe God is in control about everything. I don't think there's nothing happens that he is not in control of. I just don't like the way he does everything. Because he don't do it like I would do it. But see, I don't see the big picture. And he does. But I trust what he does. Amen? Let's stand as we honor God in the reading of his word, if you would. Chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal, and in the land of wilderness have shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And he said unto Moses, because there is no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the desert? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the words that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been thee. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he had showed you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see no more. I think I got that in there twice. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand unto the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they will follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that has been inspired and written by holy men of old. We believe there's one author, and that is you. We believe that you have blessed and anointed a number of men to pin down for us the record of your love for us and your care for us and every provision that you make for us. I pray today, Lord, that you'd open our hearts that we might see, that we might understand that you love us with an everlasting, unchanging love, and that you are there for us, you are on our side. And every enemy will stand before you, and Lord, you will have your vengeance. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts today that we might be receptive to the word of God. Help us understand what you have here for us, that it might strengthen us in the day we live in, that we might be light in this world of darkness, that you might be glorified in all that's said and done. I pray that you'd anoint me, O Lord, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray I'd speak only those things that would glorify you. I pray that I'd put no man before you, and that you are the only true living God who is worthy of praise and honor. We give that to you, Lord. So I pray your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've entitled this message just simply Trapped. Just Trapped. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel I get in a place where I'm trapped. And I can't change anything. That's just the way things are. And I sort of feel like that today. I sort of feel like we're living in a trapped time. A time whenever we are overtaken by so many obstacles in our life. So many things are happening around us that concerns us. And so much sickness, so much hurt, so much pain that, you know, you feel like we're trapped. I don't know about you, but I feel trapped. Like, what do we do at this point? Well, I want to just remind you that we do have someone who loves us, and we have someone who cares. But sometimes life can be cruel. I can just think of all that's happened within our family here in the past few weeks. And of the number of friends that we've known that have families are now suffering because of the day we live in. So there are some times, even in the Christian's life, that things happen that we need the Lord to intervene. We need him to do something for us because we cannot do it ourselves. Now, I don't know about you. I need God to encourage me, don't you? We need some encouraging from God, because if we don't get that, we are going to become stale in our Christian walk, and we will be no use in the kingdom of God except we lean on him. Now, that's the answer to everything. And, you know, you can see it on the faces of the people. They don't know what to do. News they get is sad and sorrowful. But God can deliver us. God is the one who can bring us into the very need that we have. And listen, today there's those that are having to face death. We went to my sister's the other night. Bless her heart. She is having such a hardship. We stood there and cried together, her and me and Wanda. We just stood together and cried. You know, because things today are hurting. People are hurting. Pain is everywhere. Maybe today we're thinking about someone who has just been told that they have cancer. Or maybe someone today that is because of the situation that we're in economically that they are at bankruptcy. They're about to lose everything. I know some people that have lost their homes. Matter of fact, I talked to one this week that we helped that was in need because of the situation that we're in. Things don't always go perfect, even for Christians. Now, just think about this story we just read. We've got God's people. Now, think about this. God's people have been in bondage for over 400 years. 400 years they worked there and labored in Egypt. God sends a man to them to deliver them and carry them to a promised land. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. A land that had everything that they possibly would need. And God was just going to give it to them. Here it is, it's yours. And we find them here today in a place that they're trapped in. And the only thing they can think of is how easy it was in Egypt. You know, when you think about that, we know that's not true. We know that their lives were miserable. They were crying out to God, God, please deliver us. But see, just like a lot of us, they were thinking, that the delivery was going to be easy. That it wasn't going to be anything that we have to do. We could just sit back and enjoy the Lord doing for us. Because we deserve it. 400 years and we have, you can just imagine this. They labored hard. And now we find them telling Moses, what did we tell you back there? Leave us alone. Well, a lot of times we do that. A lot of times we even tell God, leave us alone. Let me worry with this. Let me suffer with this. Let me hang on to my sorrow and my pain. Please, Lord, just let me have it. When we don't have to do that. When we don't have to do that. We can be secured in the thought and in the purpose of God's love for us. We can be assured that he's doing what is absolute best. Although we might not like what's going on, God sees the big picture. He knows what this situation right here is doing in America. I believe he puts the hooks in the mouths of kings and presidents and senior people in the nations, and he pulls them where he wants them. And I believe right now he's putting the hooks in the mouths of the church and trying to pull us back unto him, because we've been so far away from him. And it's in every place that I know of. No place is safe from this world. This world is our enemy. And I don't mean somebody's beating at your door. I'm just saying the things of this world, this is not our world. We are a part of the kingdom of God. And this is his. And one day, he's going to take all that sin all that sickness, all that pain, and it's going to be done away with. Are you looking forward to that day? Are we really looking for God to come and to receive us unto himself? Or are we ready to do what God has called the church to do right now? Because listen, somebody told me this week, or I think it was this week, maybe last week, it was either Wanda or Gina, I can't remember who did. Maybe, I think it was Wanda. That said this. God has put us here. This is our time. Our children and our grandchildren, they're here because it's their time. And whatever comes, what we have to make sure we do is to teach our children to love God. Now, see, I don't know and I don't understand what's going to happen 50 years from now. But 50 years from now, if he don't come back, I'm going to have some grandchildren that are grown. And I pray they're productive in the kingdom of God. Although I might not be here because my time has passed. Just like when the Jews were facing death. And Mordecai said, dear, this is your time. Maybe you've been put here for this reason. And here we have a group of people, and according to historians, probably 2 or 3 million at this point. And Moses trying to lead them, and them wanting to go back. Now, let me tell you, that's a hard job. It's a hard job to lead forward when everything else is going backwards. And we have to take the time to stop and realize that God wants us always to move forward, no matter what's in front of us, no matter what the obstacle is. God says, march on. I think Paul said it this way. When you've done all you can do, stand. Putting on the armor of God, stand. Because, listen, we can make a difference. If in nobody else's life, we can make a difference in our family's life. We can be there for them and we can show them what it means to follow Christ. We can show them what it means to be faithful in everything, in season and out of season. Here God's people is gathered, trapped. And all they want to know is why in the world did you bring us here? Well, why has God brought us here? Why has God brought us together as a body of believers? I don't think he's done it for no reason. I don't think it's just a happen so. I think this is God's plan for us. And although there is some restrictions on what we do today, there is some needs that are still needed that we need to be able to minister to the people. There is that thing called Facebook. Now, you know, the truth is, God gives men wisdom. Nobody has discovered anything without God revealing it to them. Although we, in our finite minds and sinful that's a good word, ways, I'll use that one, can take what God has given this world for a blessing and make it a curse. But we can take that same tool and use it for the glory of God. I mean, it's easy to get together with that can you remember what it's called? Those meetings that you've got now where you can see everybody that's there. Zoom, there you go. Thank you, brother. My mind, I'm telling you, just right now it's running 1,000 miles an hour. But Those things are at our fingertips. But you know what I've discovered? Most of the time, the church is absent. The church is absent. What we have to do is make ourselves come together. And what we have to do is say, I don't care. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And it might be by telephone, it might be by Zoom, it might be some other way, it might be YouTube. But whatever it is, say, God, here I am. Help me. See, these people were looking for an answer. They saw those Egyptians coming. Now, here's what I don't understand. They're telling Moses, why didn't you leave us over there? And they see them coming to get them, and what did they do? The Bible says they were filled with fear. Filled with fear. And they're crying out, Moses, take us back, and here they come. And the Bible said when they saw them that they were just absolutely terrorized. See, when reality really sets in, and understand that we're going to stand before a holy God, we're going to stand before the majesty of the universe, the one who spoke the stars in place and named them, the one who created man, the one who made the flowers grow out on the tree out front, these winter flowers. He is the one that we're going to stand before, and we will give an account of what we've done. He is going to set before us His glory. See, but God has a plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. Our plans might not be exactly the same, but I can tell you what, God brings them together and unites it all together. And He takes that little group here, that little group there, and listen to me. You know, in the Bible, about 95% of when it talks about the church, it's not talking about the worldwide church. It's talking about the local church. At 1830 Wilmington Highway. Or some other street number. That's what it's talking about. His people everywhere. Everywhere. That He is bringing together to do and meet the needs. He says for us that we are His workmanship, created by Him to good works that He has before ordained for us to walk in. That's just simple math, if you would. Paul said, you are His. He's just said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And now you are His workmanship, created unto good works. He has a plan for us to walk in. Jeremiah said it this way, that God knows His plans for us, and they're not to harm us. So when we get out in the desert, and we're standing by the Red Sea, and the enemy is coming this way, and the sea is over this way with nowhere to go, stand still and let God work. Stand still and see the glory of God. See, because we're running on scared today. We're running on scared. And listen, I am as cautious as anybody can be. I'm like my sister said, doesn't I have used that sanitizing lotion on my hands till my hands are rough as wood. So I'm being cautious. Can't be foolish. But I cannot be foolish enough to abandon what God wants us to do. And He said, just stand still. Just stand still. Now, I can think about this. Here they are. They gather around the Red Sea there, and they're smashed in here, about 2 or 3 million of them. Here comes Pharaoh with his 600 of his best chariots leading the way. And the Bible says, and all his other chariots was there too. His whole army was going. Now listen, these guys were equipped to fight. They were ready. They were in pursuit to bring those people back because they said they were foolish for letting them go. Why in the world did we let them go? They're doing the work for us. You know? They were coming with their bows at a fast pace with them chariots. And they're moving to them. And you know what these people have done? They have forgot what God's done for them. All they had to do was look up. And the cloud was right above them that God had led them where they were at. And they refused to look at him because they were looking at the enemy. Waiting for the enemy to catch them. Oh, my gracious, here we come. Moses, was there no graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here to die? Well, they're coming. And they never look up. We do that a lot of times. Do you remember the day that you trusted Christ? Do you remember the day that he tugged at your heart and he pulled you to him? And you knew your life was changing and you knew that God had something for you because there was something miraculous happening in your life. And have you had a battle that you forgot that? Have you had to fight a war on your own, facing an enemy that is, the Bible says, is the slickest rascal ever created? The only thing the Egyptians could do, listen, they hadn't been there in Egypt. They had no weapons. If they'd had weapons, they'd have been persecuted or killed. The only thing they knew how to do was make a brick. And they knew how to make it without the straw. So the only thing they could have done was throw a brick at them. And they didn't have them because they left them back in Egypt. Just think about that. Here comes the enemy. And no way in the world can I fight because he's always in pursuit. There's never a moment where he gets tired of chasing us. See, because although he can't do nothing with our souls, he can mess up our witness. He can make us, as Paul said, he can cause us to become shipwrecked and be no good to the kingdom. So, we have to watch it because that devil is coming. Although God's got a purpose for us, and he says he's not going to harm us, but he's going to bless us to give us a hope. There's still those times that the enemy says, I got my eye on you. I'm aiming at you. And so much of the church has got so comfortable in the days we're living in that the kingdom is passing them by. Well, enough said about that little deal, right? But the enemy is charging us. We got to face those things. And listen, there's some things that are crazy in the life of a Christian nowadays. We may not win it overnight. Although the whole war's been, you know, I heard this story of during World War II. It was on the news or some kind of newsreel thing that I was watching that after World War II, that Japan still had men on the islands of the South Pacific as late as in 1980-something that were still at war because they did not know the war had ended. Ain't that something? And they had just left them in the jungles of the South Pacific. They didn't know the war was over. And they were fighting. Killing. Because they were faithful to what they had been asked to do. Listen. God's called us to battle. And he has won the war. On Calvary's cross, God won the battle for man. When Jesus was buried in that grave, and the Bible says that he visited the Holy of Holies that was not made by man, and offered his blood once for all sins, for all times, and he rose from the dead, he purchased everything for us. So he won the battle. But sometimes we're like those guys in the South Pacific. We forget that the battle is actually won. And we get so fearful that we do nothing. Then again, you know, the devil's got a way of bringing something into our minds that can almost paralyze us. And when the enemy is in pursuit of us like that, and we get to that place where there's nowhere to go, the only thing that's left is faith. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And that's what we should have started with. Amen. But we get to that corner, and faith that we need so bad eludes us. And we begin to think, this God, man, if he really was able to do this, he would have already done this. We'd have been delivered back years ago. When Joseph died and the king and the Pharaoh got where they didn't know who they were, God would have come and delivered us right then. But that wasn't God's plan. I don't know what God's plan is for your life, but I know he's got a plan. Because, see, fear has a way of debilitating us. Because when we don't have faith, we are overcome by fear. Fear of what's happening around us, fear of this world. And listen to me, that leads us to be despair. It leads us where we don't know what to do. It seems hopeless at times, but it's not. It's not hopeless at all, because we have a God who knows tomorrow, because he's already there. He knows next year, because he's already there. There is no time or space with him. He is omnipresent. All times. Time is for us, not for him. But he, that is beyond anything we can even imagine, helps us in that despair. He comes along and comforts us. I tell you, and he'll bring back to your memory. The Holy Spirit of God has a way of just reaching down in the well of faith and pulling up that which you need right then. And I guarantee you, you face a situation and he will put, if you've got the Word of God in you, the Holy Spirit will find it and he'll pull it right up here to help you remember it. That you can do all things through Christ. All things. And the Holy Spirit will just reach right down that well, pull it right up, and stick it in your head. And you'll say, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you for that word that you give me. Thank you, because that has helped me and encouraged me. And man, do we need some encouragement. The church needs to get a smile on its face because we've been encouraged by God. Yeah, things are tough. But when you're Father is the ruler of the universe, you got something to smile about. Amen? You got something to put a smile on your face about, and I know it can be tough at times, but believe me, just put it on there. And directly, it'll just be pinned to your face. Because all the time you're going to think, oh, look what God's done for me today. Look what you won't get up in the morning and say, oh, look what I got to face today. We'll get up in the morning and say, praise God, he's given me a day that I can be a part of his kingdom work. Yes. Amen? Yes. God is a God that we can trust. Yes. We can't let our confidence and our faith waver. I say to listen, if that's happened to you, you're not the only one. If it's never happened to you, maybe we might need to re-examine something. Because none of us is perfect. And if you get up tomorrow morning and you have fear and you have doubt, you're uncertain about certain things, let me tell you this, that fear is not from God. It's from the enemy of God. And it is for us ourselves, for us that we might glory in the power of God, because we have His presence living in us. What a God we serve. What a God we have. You know, we can't forget that He has promised us life. We can't forget that He said that there would nothing come into our life that He would not give us a way of escape. When it looks hopeless, guess what? Look around. There's a door somewhere to open. There might be a door open to Him going like this. Come here. Might be. We have a wonderful God. We have a God who is able to do all things. I guess fear is the worst emotion we can have, isn't it? Because it grips you. And you can't hardly even move. You're almost afraid to even think. But let me tell you something. God can break that chain of fear. He can make those things that seem like obstacles just something that is so simple. So, what is the need that we have? I think the biggest issue that we need to grab hold of right now is something that we have a hard time doing. Exactly, praying. Why do we have so much issue praying and getting honest with Him and serious with Him? And I've shared this with you before. I've been down praying and tickled myself because I realized I'm telling Him something that ain't true. Telling Him something that I'm doing that is not true. You know what I mean? Lord, I'm trusting You in everything. Well, no, I'm not. And get tickled at myself as if I'm praying to someone, to a human that does not know. And when we pray to the one who knows every thought that we have. And it's hard. It's more than now I lay me down to sleep. It's tough to get on. Is it not tough to get honest with everyone? Well, what if they knew every single thing about you? Mercy sakes, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? We would be in a mess if that was the case. Thank God that what He knows about us, He will forgive it and forget it. He is a forgive and forget God. You know, sometimes people come up to you and they'll remember some of that junk that you've done. They'll remember that, and you try to forget it as much as you can. But they'll remind you. People might not forgive us, but God will. When you get to that place and you feel trapped, you just look up. Because your salvation comes from above. Because God is a God of deliverance. What did He tell the people? He said, Moses, here they are saying, crying. The Bible said they cried out to the Lord, but it don't tell us what they said. But it tells us what God told Moses. So evidently that was more important than what they were saying for us to know. And here's what He said. He said, you tell the people to fear not and just stand still and see, Damon Lee version, what I'm about to do. It's going to amaze them. He said, although the enemy's coming, the Emily version of this, this is my paraphrase. They're coming after you, but they ain't going to get you. They might worry you, and you might be concerned right now, and you might be in a full sweat, but believe me, they're not going to touch you. And he said, Moses, you just turn around with that rod in your hand. And you hold your arms up. and I'm going to give them a way of escape. I'm going to lead them into Canaan land. I'm going to do something for them that they can't do for themselves. That's what God's telling us. If you will just trust me, I'm going to lead you into Canaan. If you'll just trust me, you can see the works of God in your life. If you'll just trust me, I'm here for you. He said, don't fear. Don't fear. You just stand still. Don't go running here. Don't go looking there. Don't run after the world to find the answer. You just stand still and wait on me because I'm fixing to do something. And probably the greatest miracle that man has ever seen, God wrought when Moses raised his arms. Amen? Maybe we need to do some of that. Maybe we just need to spend some time on our knees with our hands up in the air. Say, God, here I am. Do something for me. Yes, and he will. He will. Just stand still and see. It's going to be over with in a minute. So here they go. Walking across, and scientists are trying to prove so much that it was only 3 inches deep, but I won't know how all them horses and men got drowned in that 3 inches of water. They must have hit it at high tide or something. But the Bible says they walked across in muddy soil. That ain't what it said, is it? No, it said they went down dry. He not only moved it back, he dried the ground. Maybe they were coughing from the dust when they went over. Yep. Amen? He made a way clear and precise. That's what he does for us. He is not a God of wonder. He is a God of precision. And when he says, you come here, if we just go that way, we won't have to go around the building to get there. If we just follow his ways. Real simple. He raised his arms. And the ground become dry, and all 2 or 3 million of them walked across there making that dust, and here come the enemy. Boom, boom, boom. And God said, I'm going to get glory on this. See, the justice of God is glory. Not our glory, it's his glory. His holiness is his glory. His justice and judgment is holy. And here they come. And what did he do? The sea come back, all 3 inches of it, and drowned a whole army in Egypt. That was sad. Those horses must have been mighty small. I've rode a lot of horses. I've never rode one that small, though. But God is our deliverer. When everything else is all messed up, there's some benefit in God's work. And we are the ones that benefit from it. It's not the world. The world cares less about him. But listen, he is Lord. He is Lord of everyone, everywhere. No man on the face of this earth who has ever been born will not stand before him, and they will give an account of every word, every deed. And then he says, every man will bow their knee and say that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. So he is the deliverer. And you, listen, you've been delivered. There was a price on your head called sin. And that price to pay was death. And we had one to come and die for us. Just faith. I'm glad there's not a bunch of works to do for salvation. I'm just so glad that it's from him and him alone. I'm so glad when I knelt beside my bed on that Thursday afternoon about 3:30 on April 26, 1979. I'm telling you, when I knelt beside the bed and got up from there, guess what? Victory had been won. And ever since then, faithful or not, he has been. Count on the faithfulness of God, because he is the great deliverer. And this morning, and I'm going to close. This morning, just think about this just a moment. Are you trusting him? Are we following him? Are you serving him? Or are we waiting for the enemy to get there and overtake us? I hope that's not the case. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that we claim victory in the victor whose name is Jesus. Father, thank you for this day.